This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1372. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded August 28th, Voice of Biafra Rediscovered, Voice of Africa Uncovered, Time Changes in Egypt, Iran, Israel, Venezuela, Frequency Changes in Israel, Venezuela, Bolivia, Russia, Inside Chinese Jamming, DRM Off in Australia and French Guiana, and the Propagation Outlook. One of the best ways to discover DX News is to tune around randomly. That's exactly what I was doing Friday afternoon, August 24th at 2035 UT, when I came upon a strong signal on 15665, African-accented English, and it ID'd right away as the voice of Biafra International from Washington, D.C. This was a previously unknown broadcast of VOBI, the last we knew. They were transmitted on Saturdays only at 21 to 22 on 7380 via South Africa, which, somewhat surprisingly, was often audible as far away as North America. This broadcast apparently replaces it. It's for 1 hour Fridays at 20 UT on 15665. The strong signal and a long path echo led me to believe it's probably from a U.S. site now, and sure enough, just before 21 UT, there was an ID for WHRI. I then checked the World Harvest Radio posted program schedule, and there it was. Although they refer to it just as VOBI broadcasts. If you searched their site on the word Biafra, you would not find it. This hour also appears Fridays only in HFCC schedules as starting on the 25th of March, but I seriously doubt this. That was the official start date of the A07 season. I've been looking for the latest reports of the previous hour on 7380 and found that had still been reported as of mid-April in Japan Premium. Searching the WHR schedule on VOBI, I came up with a second broadcast, which is yet to be confirmed as I speak. It's Wednesdays only at 1915 to 1945 on 13710, and that one's via WHRA in Maine. Biafra, of course, was a breakaway part of Nigeria many years ago, but there is still a movement to achieve independence for Biafra. They have their own website, www.biafraland.com. And in fact, they have audio files of each of these weekly broadcasts. However, no mention there of the one on Wednesday. Well, I should point out that there's a lot of confusion about the frequency. I certainly heard it on 15665, but the frequency announced is 15.67 megahertz. And furthermore, the WHR schedule shows it totally by mistake on 17650. Perhaps that was used before, or it was an alternate frequency under consideration. And by the way, since I was hearing a severe long path echo, that must mean the signal was arriving simultaneously via short and long path, the longer one being about 24 kilomiles away. It so happens I was not the only one who ran across this. Bernie O'Shea in Ontario tells DX Listening Digest. He was also tuning in 15665 Friday at 2030 UT. For him, the signal was very strong and clear. And then, thanks to clandestine radio watch getting caught up, we found an even later logging of the previous frequency, 7380, on May 5th by Paul Geiger in Austria. And I should point out that unlike many clandestines, this one has a considerable portion in English, along with the local language of Igbo or Igbo. Jari Savolainen in Finland tells DX Listening Digest that there's an article with photos about the new Ugandan missionary station on 4750 Dunamis shortwave. It's at the website of BibleVoice.org. I looked through it. It's well illustrated, but rather short on the details we would like. It says the antenna is supported by 6 40-foot poles, which were raised by rhythmic human teamwork. So I think that would fit the description for a Lazy H vertical incidence antenna designed for nearby coverage and to suppress DX coverage. Nevertheless, the article says the first two DX reports they got were from Finland and Sweden, and they seem to be excited about that. But I wonder how many DXers have managed to hear Dynamis shortwave anywhere well enough to listen to it, much less be taken in by their evangelizing. Do they really even cover the whole country of Uganda, as was their aim, considering the low power and the co-channel interference from Sudan? Yari Savalainen replies, good question. I thought about the reception already and sent a message to my contact at the station. The reply was, they are covering all of Uganda on shortwave, and no interference has been reported from Radio Peace in Sudan. In Finland, he says, I've been hearing lately on 4750, nothing but Radio Peace Sudan, and occasionally RRI Makassar, Indonesia, running late after 1730. On August 17th, Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania was hearing Voice of the Broad Masses, Program 2, from Asmara, Eritrea, at 0357 past 0425 UT on 7180. That's instead of 7175, where it had been for a while, during their morning broadcast at least. He says there was an interval signal and local language at 0400. The other program, number 1, from Voice of the Broad Masses, was on 7100. Well, now they seem to have changed 7180 also for their evening broadcast, perhaps because there's been an unidentified music station, presumably to jam it, on 7175. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany says on August 22nd, from 16 to 1640 UT, there was that un-ID Arabic singing. Perhaps Ethiopia is doing the jamming. Then Martin Groot in the Netherlands told us that on August 23rd he was hearing VOBME on 7180 at 1600, perhaps in the Afar language. Anyhow, there was an ID on a clear frequency, but Italy started interfering from 1627. He says that was the first day on this new frequency for the evening period, presumably to avoid the jamming on 7175. One of the singers doing the jamming, he is now sure, was Mariah Carey, probably without her knowledge. I can't say I really miss it, but I have noticed the absence of the multi-hour DRM test from French Guiana, which has been running for several months on 17870 through 17880, nominally between 13 and 20 UT to North America. It's still on the DRM schedules Monday through Friday, but even on weekdays, I'm no longer hearing it. That clears up at least three frequencies on the 16-meter band. And in fact, in the DRM forums, I see the last mention of that transmission was on August 10th. I guess maybe they're just on August vacation, since French Guiana is, after all, part of France. We'll see if it comes back. Meanwhile, 17870 was open, and I was able to hear Voice of Africa, the English broadcast from Libya, which is at 14 to 16 UT. This was on August 27th. Not only on 17870, but parallel to somewhat stronger 17725. We are still not absolutely sure if these are transmitted directly from Libya, or as they once were, relayed from France. Can we look up the info on HFCC? No, these transmissions are missing, not showing either France or Libya. Via Wolfgang Büschel, a post on the German language ADX list from Michael Lochinski, that according to an official Egyptian government website, they will end daylight shifting time and go back to normal time on Friday, September 7th. This is a bit earlier than usual, since they want to get it done before Ramadan starts on September 13th. So local clocks will change from UT plus 3 back to UT plus 2. However, DST seems to have no effect on the scheduling of Radio Cairo's external language broadcasts, although I suppose they might affect the schedule of Arabic programming relayed on shortwave. Israel will follow suit a bit later. Via Donny Rosenzweig, we have a revised schedule from Israel Radio on shortwave, mentioning that summertime there ends September 15th. They go back to UT plus 2 on the 16th. That, of course, also coordinates with religious holidays. Israel, furthermore, is scheduled to make frequency change concerning English broadcasts as of September 1st. The 0330 transmission on 11590 to North America and Western Europe moves down to 7530. All the other frequencies remain the same for the three remaining English broadcasts. But then a semi-month later, of course, when they go off daylight shifting time, all their shortwave broadcasts do move one UTR later. That one will then be at 0430. Bernd Rutten now, Lithuania Forwards News from Press TV, that new Iranian external service on television in English, that Iran will again observe daylight shifting time from next year. In fact, they begin on the vernal equinox March 21st, which means they'll be going from UT plus 3.5 to 4.5 hours. And furthermore, it will last exactly 6 months until the autumnal equinox. Via Pladex, Anker Petersen in Denmark reports that All India Radio in Shimla has reactivated on 4965. It had not been reported since last February. He heard it August 26th, signing on at midnight 25, with news in English at midnight 35. In DX India, Alokesh Gupta draws our attention to an organization and a website called Friends of Prasar Bharati. That's Friends of Indian Government Radio and Television Broadcasting. They say, our aim is to defend and promote Broadcasting Corporation of India and its vital role to inform, educate, and entertain the public. We demand that it serve its real purposes. It should be completely funded by the government. We oppose all efforts to compromise its significance and independence by throwing it to the mercy of market and corporate forces. Monopoly media is the worst that can happen to a democratic country like India. Well, if you'd like to check more of what they're doing, the website is, all one word, friendsofprasarbharati.org. Yes, I'll spell it, P-R-A-S-A-R-B-H-A-R-A-T-H-I. I see the website of Bhutan Broadcasting Service giving their language and program schedule in local time, once converted, shows that there are 3 hours in English. In UT, they are at 05, 09, and 14. Unfortunately, that means that only at 14 do they have the remotest chance of making it to North America, as the others are in full daylight. They were heard in New South Wales at 14:18 in English, but with Chinese interference. Propagationally, we, and even more so listeners in Europe, have a much better chance of hearing Bhutan at their morning sign-on while there's still a darkness path, but it's in the Dzongkha language. Anker Petersen in Denmark, which once again reports hearing them from midnight UT on 6035 until fade-out at midnight 35. They start with horns and drums and intoning monks initially, nearly covering Colombia on the same frequency. There's something very wrong with one of the transmitters in Magadan, Russia. It's motorboating. That means it's making a rumbling sound continuously on 7320. I hear it as early as 0602 and as late as 1250 UT. It carries the Radio Rossiya service in Russian only, scheduled all the way from 20 until 13 hours. Thanks to Seiichi Hasegawa of the Nagoya DX Circle in Japan, we have an item from NDXC Monitoring translated by S. Wakisaka about Chinese jamming and monitoring stations. China jams Chinese, Tibetan, and other programs of the Sound of Hope, VOA, Radio Free Asia, BBC, All India Radio, and others. There are two types of jamming, Firedrake, or musical jamming, and the CNR1 program. They use both Firedrake and CNR1 to jam the in-band broadcasts, while only Firedrake is used to jam out-of-band programs such as Sound of Hope. Based on monitoring by NDXC members and directional analysis, the jamming comes from multiple sites. There is no site used only for jamming. Thanks to mistransmission and directional analysis, we found that some transmitters in Hainan, Xi'an, Qixihar, and Kunming are used for jamming. The jamming is controlled by the Radio Control Bureau of SARFT, the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television, and the jamming is monitored by radio TV monitoring stations. One of those, number 573, is north of Beijing. It is reported that radio and TV monitoring stations are also located in Shanghai, Xinjiang, Hainan, and Heilongjiang. The details of radio TV monitoring stations are unknown since official documents on China Radio and TV do not mention them. It has long been believed that jamming was controlled by the army and or the Communist Party. Thus, it is quite interesting that jamming is actually controlled by an underground organization, SARFT. Well, that's exactly what they say about it. And in a follow-up report from S. Hasegawa and S. Aoki, Firedrake is now being heard on medium wave, 1053 kilohertz, parallel to 1557 at 1735 to 1845 hours, first noted August 12th on 1053. 1 hour later, it KO'd Japanese commercial station JOAR. They say the target station is unidentified. However, we know that 1557 is a 300-kilowatt CBS transmitter in Taiwan, which carries WYFR part of the time, but is also recently reported to carry Sound of Hope at certain times on the weekends. But what are they jamming on 1053? That happens to be a frequency used by the clandestine from North to South Korea, certainly not involved in this. Via kilohertz, megahertz, gigahertz, and internet, this is World of Radio 1372. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. You'll find much more information in the archive of DX Listening Digest via worldofradio.org. We have only 1 month left of Radio Japan as we have known it because their major cuts are effective October 1st. From the Isle of Wight, Alan Holder has received their October schedule of broadcast to Europe, which will only be in English and Russian at reduced hours. The English broadcasts will be for one-third of an hour at midnight UT on 5960. Some of these obviously involve relays. Also half an hour at 05 on 5975, at 12 on 17600, and at 14 on 13630. And there may be further changes when the B season begins at the end of October. French is one of the European languages supposedly being canceled. Jean-Michel Aubier in France says that they keep denying that they're canceling French broadcasts to Europe. The schedule, however, shows for B07, according to Wolfgang Büschel, that the 0630 broadcast to 07 on 11970 via Gabon will continue. There will be no changes in the azimuth or anything else, but it will then be intended only for Africa rather than Europe, even though they're in the same direction. Kai Ludwig remarks that it's demagogic for them to do this, similar to what the BBC did when they adjusted official target areas for various frequencies from UK sites to allow for public relations puff that they no longer broadcast to Central Europe on shortwave, while, of course, they really did. Here's another reactivated station from Papua New Guinea, Radio West New Britain, 3235, reported by S. Hasegawa of the Nagoya DX Circle, is heard in Japan August 22nd from 1130 to sign-off at 1400. In fact, it was heard the day before by another Japanese DXer until sign-off at 1341. And then it was soon heard also in North America, Dave Valco in Pennsylvania, reporting to Hardcore DX August 25th from TuneIn at 1045. There was a children's choir island song at 1100. Here's another DRM broadcast which has vanished without notice, and we don't know why or for how long. Atsunori Ishida in Japan, via S. Hasegawa of the NDXE, says Radio Australia's DRM broadcast in English at 12 to 14 via Brandon on 5995 was instead heard in AM on August 23rd. Dave France of WWRB Shortwave in Morrison, Tennessee, says they also are setting up a non-directional beacon. They're just waiting for final approval from the FCC. It should be on the air shortly. The frequency is 529 kilohertz. The call sign is Lima, Yankee, Quebec, The power 100 watts, and the facility name is Roseanne. The beacon will be QSL as well as WWRB itself. Details at www.wwrb.org. The beacon is at the private airport of the parent organization of WWRB, Airline Transport Communications, Inc. About the approaching date of September 14th, when the FCC will allow digital transmissions all night on the AM band. On the ABDX list, Scott Fibish says, I'm compelled to point out that the sky will not come crashing down at sunset on September 14th. There just are not enough AM stations out there running HD to create the wall of noise certain doomsayers keep predicting. Will some frequencies get clobbered? Sure they will. But at least for now, there are still channels with no HD operators on them at all, and I for one don't see a mad rush by stations to add the AM HD system, with all the questions still swirling about its viability. Bruce Carter replies, from a location I have often traveled, I was on a deserted road between Clayton and Raton, New Mexico, and I could hear IBOC sideband pairs from stations hundreds of miles away when their main analog was not even present. The nature of the sideband seems to be very robust in the amplitude domain, much more so than analog. Add the robustness of the digital hash to the reflection of SkyWave, and September 14th will be very interesting. I predict a huge noise floor permeating the entire band, getting worse with each new IBOX station signing on. Last week we mentioned that the new Canadian X-band station, CHTO in Toronto, was slightly off frequency, helping it to be de-exable far beyond North America, CHTO on 1690.7, but too late now, they're back closer to their nominal frequency, says Pat Martin in Oregon. And Barry McLarnon in Ottawa says they moved to 1689.9, and then the following night they were measured on 1690.003. Those reports from IRCA and NRC. A Honduras shortwave station has been reported. I'm not sure if they had been off the air, but I hadn't seen them for a while. HRMI Radio Misiones Internacionales on 3340. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania heard them tentatively August 24th, apparently running all night 0645 past 0745. Spanish religious talk and English translations. Ron Howard in California also heard them tentatively August 24th at 0931 to 1007. And Chuck Boland in Florida as well on the 24th, about the same time, or 1 hour later, 1048 to 1105. These were all on the same date, August 24th. Another week has gone by, and we still don't know where the mysterious carrier on 1181 kilohertz is coming from for sure. From my angle, it's about 125 degrees, which points to eastern Cuba, but it could be somewhere else in Florida or further in the Caribbean in exactly the same direction. Many more bearings have been taken on it, and there's a lot more discussion of it in the latest issues of DX Listening Digest. Under unidentified, but we seem to have run out of ideas after about 2 weeks. Does anyone have any other idea or other source of info about who may be doing it from where? Following up another item last week about Venezuela changing its time zone starting in January to UT minus 4.5, now it appears they're trying to rush it through and get it changed earlier. Bertrude now in Lithuania says, according to reports from Venezuela, the law still has to pass parliament, which it is expected to do. The government's trying to push it in order to make the change possibly already by September 17th this year. On August 20th, Liz Cameron in Michigan was hearing cut numbers, that is, spy numbers transmitted in code rather than voice in the middle of the 19-meter band, 15290 at 1915 UT. But then, before the hour was over, this frequency switched to carrying Radio Nacional de Venezuela, also heard by Richard Zola. And a few days later, also by Bernie O'Shea in Ontario and myself. This appears to be the long-lost first broadcast of the afternoon from RNV via Cuba, which was originally designated for San Francisco when it started in April of 04, 19 to 20 UT on 13740. But now it's on 15290, a very strong signal here, and probably still on the San Francisco antenna from Havana. Rogildo Aragão in Bolivia tells us a new frequency he's heard for Radio Estambul, that's Estambul, in Guayaramirin, 4875. It had been on 4498.1, but August 26th at 0207, he heard their Show de los Sábados and an ID before they signed off at 0312. 4875 you may recognize as a Bolivian frequency, which had belonged to Radio La Cruz del Sur. So, does it replace that, or is La Cruz relaying Radio Estambul? Actually, the Southern Cross had been missing for quite some time, so who knows, maybe they lost the frequency. Then we heard from Brandon Jordan in Memphis, Tennessee, who was monitoring a large portion of the 60-meter band all night and discovered he actually heard it earlier, signing on at 0955 UT August 25th. That is, the transmitter was turned on, but audio started fading up at 10:20, peaking at 10:30. But he could not get a definite ID. Frequency measured at 4875.08. There is a chaotic legal situation in São Paulo Radio, according to a Pulsar report via Arnaldo Slein on the Condish list. It says that only 3 of 37 Paulista radio stations are legally licensed. Most of them have expired, some as much as 17 years ago. Brazilian licenses normally run for 10 years and then can be renewed. And furthermore, 22 of the 39 stations were originally licensed to operate in other cities and not in São Paulo itself. It seems like that, like the U.S., Brazil has a problem with rim shooting. Stations in small towns nearing major cities trying to identify or even move to the larger cities where there's much more business. Yari Savalainen in Finland reports for a couple of UT evenings around 1700 there's been a Russian army station, Radio Zvezda, which means star, on 8886 kilohertz. I believe this is a mixing between transmitters co-sited at Samara, 9615-729 kilohertz. So it should also be audible on the high side, 10344, not yet confirmed. Some time ago, I reported a similar Zvezda mix on 6561 and 8016, which are plus and minus 729 from another of their shortwave frequencies, 7290. That report dated August 20th. The voice of Russia, over some high-latitude paths, makes mid-season frequency changes for propagational reasons. Already on August 1st, they changed one of their frequencies to North America in English at 03 to 05, 9880 replaced by 5900. And more changes are coming up to Europe as of September 2nd, according to their website. Here they are, from 15 to 16, 9810 replaces 12040. From 17 to 18, Saturday and Sunday only, 7320 replaces 11675. 18 to 19, 9480 instead of 11630. And 19 to 21, 7195 replaces 12070. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued August 28th. A and K indices peaking at 20 and 5 on September 3rd, 15 and 4 on September 6th and 7th. Solar flux 70 except dropping to 65 from September 4th to 16th. With a standard disclaimer, Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 1372.